Happy New Year!
I don't actually even like saying that to people, you know, because I'm like, you don't need to be happy about the New Year. Don't force it.
Okay. Well, I immediate flip-flop. An immediate whiplash for our audience.
Oh, do you want me to go there and explain it? Do you want me to go there and explain it?
No, I know why.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like, one, you're probably hungover in the first couple of days of New Year, right? Like, I feel like Christmas is all drunk.
They'll be on day six if they're listening to this on the day it's released.
Yeah, but one, we're in our 30s. Two, you're drunk for all of Christmas. So, takes you a few days. You're sober. It's cold, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Chilly, it's dark nights. Don't worry about it. I hope you're having a cozy new year.
Yeah.
I hope you're having a comforting, cozy, recuperating new year.
That sounds lovely.
I'm not.
You can tell that this is in the past because Kat and Ruby are together. And as you know, Kat is currently in New Zealand at this point.
I am in New Zealand.
Wow.
I'm in
New Zealand. Go find her.
Yeah. I'm on the South Island. Come get me. please don't. We are in the past. But we're prepping ahead of time. We wanted to make sure we had this ready for you. Yeah. Right, ready to go. But please, by all means, go. If you don't, what are you doing listening to this podcast? If you're not following both me and Ruby on social media. But I will be polluting my Instagram right now with all this fucking travel porn. It's all I've been watching is all the travel porn of, because New Zealand and Australia, very Instagrammable places.
Beautiful places.
And let me tell you, I am really hoping, as much as I'm like, oh, I hope you're having, listeners of the pod, I love you guys, but I really want everyone else who's stuck in cold, wet, rainy England and Ireland to be like, that fucking bitch, while I'm there on the glaciers.
Maybe you guys shouldn't go
down
follow
on the beaches.
Maybe you should just like leave it for a bit. Just don't follow Kat right now.
I love you guys though.
okay.
How's your new year going, Ruby?
Well, no. We need to get into the podcast.
We do need to get into this the podcast.
This isn't it. We're in tea break mode.
Yeah.
We're not, which if you know, I'll follow us on Patreon. You know about our tea breaks.
Yes.
But what we need to do.
Go follow us on Patreon.
Is that we need to introduce the first episode of 2026. And that is with the wonderful Mary O'Connell.
Oh, what a babe.
What a babe.
What a babe with a beautiful, beautiful boob job.
That sounds like we're immediately being like, no. If you follow Mary O'Connell, if you hear Mary, and I think it'd be I know we talked about it when she came in, but I'm not sure if we talked about
the podcast is one of the first things she's done post-surgery. So we actually have a boob exclusive on the podcast. You're getting annoyed that I keep talking about it. Mary paid for these boobs and she's happy to talk about them. And I want to ensure she's getting her goddamn money's worth.
But Mary is a brilliant
comedian.
Tells wonderful stories about her journey. I don't want to give many spoilers, but there are definitely some surprises. She'll say something where she's like, I think everyone says this, and then just says an insane line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. No, yeah, wonderful.
It's amazing.
Really fun.
Without further ado, enjoy the episode.
Enjoy Mary.
Well, you were playing the flute at the time, and they said... They were like, oh, if you play woodwind instruments, it can move your teeth. I was like, yeah, the oboe or the bassoon that they put in your mouth, not the flute where you just blow out your mouth.
Also, like, what kind of level do you have to be?
I wasn't a full-time flautist.
You're not Lizzo. It's not...
Oh, well, I do like to think of myself as similar to Lizzo, to be honest with you. I was in a Kaylee band. I was like, I don't think that's moving my teeth. Just little jigs and reels, whatever else. Anyways, Mary O'Connell.
Hello.
Welcome to the Odd Jobs Podcast.
Welcome, Mary.
Thank you for having me.
The wonderful Mary. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, no, it was a struggle to get here.
Yeah, British transport system's never going to not let you down.
There's nothing on you guys. I was like, I'm ready to go. I'm going to do my makeup before. It's going to be so good. I'm going to look so put together. And that didn't happen. Part of it's my fault, but like I blame TfL because I was like, okay, I'll do my makeup on the tube. But then like, obviously like there'd been a casualty on the tube. Sorry to bring it down.
condolences to whoever was affected by the
but
tube.
But it was so busy. And I was they're like, if you don't make it on this train, we don't know what's going to happen. That was what the announcer said.
What?
Yeah,
if you don't make it on this train.
If you don't get it on this train, I don't know. I was like, I almost threw myself in front of the train coming because I was like, if I can't get on, no one's getting on.
Also, the stakes, not being like, we can't confirm dead. We don't know what's going to happen. It's really like Armageddon.
They don't know I got a podcast to record. Like,
that's going to cause a panic. People are going to...
Yes, people panicked.
Yeah. I feel like that is not in the guidebook.
Well,
we appreciate you risking your life.
to get I'm here today. Now, you know.
I'm worried that maybe Mary caused the casual.
Yeah, I'm worried now.
I think it's so annoying.
We see a video on Twitter later, just of Mary just like elbowing people out of the way.
I pushed someone
on granny on the tracks.
I've got a podcast. It's a Saturday record.
Yeah.
It's vitally important for my content.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you making the effort.
God, I'm sorry. I haven't eaten today.
So you're full of fury and rage and a bottomless and an empty stomach.
I'm really pissed
That's
off.
The best vibes, right? That's the stakes are set for the record then. We know what kind of Mary we're getting today. I love it. Well, thank you so much. So this is the Odd Jobs podcast where we ask people about all their odd jobs. But it's generally people who have very cool, interesting jobs. I don't know, like Mary O'Connell, comedian as seen on Channel Comedy Central and BBC Three.
Yeah. A writer for the Emily Attack Show on ITV2 and the Now Show for Radio BBC 4.
Has done tour support for Tig Notaro.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a big in. That's a good one.
That was a good one.
Yeah, the winner of the Entertainment Now Wow Award.
Yeah, I think that award was a scam.
I love the title of it.
The Wow Now.
It's honestly like, I haven't looked loads into it because I'm like, okay, hopefully there'll be other awards. But
awards. Well, speaking of other awards, you were also the winner of the OnlyFans TV Creator Fund 2023.
Yes. Yeah.
Talk to me about what it's like to have an OnlyFans credit. Like, how many people, I feel like all of us in comedy know what that award was.
Yeah.
And mainly know you won loads of money.
It was a long time ago. That was 3 years ago.
Money didn't last. So do people in general, are they like...
It's almost always a surprise because it wasn't super well publicized. OnlyFans is kind of safe for work faction called OFTV. I didn't do anything OnlyFans related. It was a comedy competition and reality TV show. When I applied for it, I had no idea it was going to be a reality TV show. Lots of people have applied for it.
I remember we applied
together. At the same time. We were in, what was it? Was it in the Two North Down. RIP. But yeah, we were doing that.
When we speak about Catherine, go to Catherine's episode of my episode of my odd jobs to hear about that fucking story. But yes. Yeah, we were in that office of that kid.
Yeah.
And it was because they made you like verify your identity. And I was like, what? And I obviously, typical me, and I feel like maybe typical you, we were applying at like 5 p.m. on the day that the applications closed at like 11 p.m. that day.
That's loads of time.
Yeah. Because you had to, I assumed loads of time, but you had to like...
It took longer than it should.
Yeah, you weirdly had
done.
To like... It wasn't just the application form. You had to like make a profile and get it verified before then you could do the application. And they have to like... look over prove you are who you are. I think it's because they do, you know, sex work on them.
Yeah. I think you have to prove that you're over 18.
You had to prove your age.
Because you can't have an OnlyFans profile if you're not over 18.
Yeah, yeah.
And getting that verified on the day it was due in.
Yeah, yeah.
And we, like, was I, like, emceeing
a show at 2 North? I think
we were there because we had a gig.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't just meet to do the application.
Sorry, we're doing our OnlyFans.
But this award was for, like, we keep saying it's OnlyFans and it's the OnlyFans.
Yeah, it was a comedy competition.
Yeah.
I did send them a picture of my boobs, though, just to try and help. And Mary won, so tell you how that went.
I sent them a picture of my feet, so you know.
Pixel always out.
Do you want to know, can I tell you my feet pics plan?
Yeah,
if I ever need to make lots of money, I'm going to do a daily Wordle on my feet.
Sorry?
How do you do a Wordle?
I'm just going to do an anagram across my toes, and then people have to buy the picture every day. And so, because like it's the same feet, but different puzzle. And people love puzzles, and some people love feet. I'm going to make loads of money doing that.
I don't doubt that it's a good business idea. A couple questions.
Follow-ups. Go for it.
So do you come up with the anagram? Because that in itself is kind of like a fair bit of work.
Yeah. Well, you just go to the dictionary and get like...
Sorry. What I love as well is Ruby is dyslexic. So I'm like, Ruby's like, it's easy to spell, right? I'm like, well, not according to you.
You've got to spell it wrong. I just figured, right, that'd be like... there'll be a dictionary that'd be like, these are all the 8-letter words. And then just...
How many toes do you have?
Oh, I was thinking leaving the little toes because they're too little.
Wait, There's only one little toe. Genuinely, how many toes do you have?
There's two little toes.
What?
I'm doing both Mary? Feet.
Both feet. Okay, okay.
Both feet. Did you assume what five letters, Wordle, one foot?
I didn't assume anything because okay, I'm still kind of just figuring out the practicalities of it. But I like that you have answers to, like, you're obviously you're thinking ahead, you're thinking about the problems.
She's thought through the business plan.
With, like, yeah, I think if the app works, I support it.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
like, it's more about like generating that every day. Cause I just feel like Wordle is kind of, maybe it's generated.
Yeah. Well, it's more just an anagram than Wordle. I'm just using Wordle to get the Wordle people in. And then what? It's an eyeliner pen just across the toes. Done.
What are you going to call it?
Oh, there's a really good pun for this. I know it. I can sense it. It will be.
Ruby's pun stinks. Sarah going off.
Foodoo.
We'll follow up on that.
Fudoku. Fudoku.
And everyone will be like, there's no numbers. It doesn't matter. It works for the pun.
We love the pun.
Anyways, Mary O'Connor, you're very welcome to the Odd Jobs podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
With all these amazing credits. Anyways, we don't want to talk to you about all your fabulous winnings and all your great credits and writing.
None of that.
None of it.
None of it.
Leave that shit at the door.
Okay.
What we want to hear about is how you got there. So let's go back to the very beginning. Mm-hmm. What was the first ever way that you made money? Doesn't have to be a job, just like earned some cash.
Do you know, because the thing is, I've not had loads of jobs.
Oh, way to brag. Just the successful ones.
She's unemployed right now. No, freelance. Same. Freelance. So my first like kind of like wage paying job, because I didn't do anything like babysitting or anything like that.
No. You'd know hustles.
No, I wasn't really like about. I did a lot of extracurricular activities. I didn't have time for
you
jobs.
You were booked and busy.
But I worked in Claire's Accessories.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Did you do any ear piercings?
I did loads of ear piercings, and I shouldn't have.
No.
Because we're not properly, like, you practice on cardboard.
Yeah.
And then the next person you practice on is another staff member of Claire's Accessories.
Wait, another staff member?
You have to volunteer yourselves as tribute.
You don't have to, you don't. Like, so I've only got, like, the, like, just, like, the sort of, like, traditional ear piercings, but, like, the other girls I worked with had low.
And trainees.
Yeah. So I shout out to the Claire's Accessories staff. Like, I love those girls.
Shout out to Claire and all her pals.
So I worked with these two amazing Italian women called Marzia and Chiara, and they both had like quite a lot of piercings. And when it was time for like me to like, so I first I practiced. So it's called the gun, where it's kind of like a stapler.
Yeah.
And you like you put the earring in and it's got like a pointy thing. So like you press it and then it's like, okay, it's pierced. So I did the cardboard, and then the next ear was Chiara. And honestly, actually, the hardest thing is just getting the dots
aligned.
Yeah.
This is, I went to Claire's Accessories, and let me tell you something. I went to go get my, like, a second hold on, and they were like, we'd almost need to, one of these could be your second hole because it's so far back on your lobe, but this one's so far forward that then we could almost like try and line you up. But they were like, it'll actually almost be too close. They don't want to do it too close. So yeah, Claire's Accessories really fucked up my earlobes, but thanks, Mary.
But like, we literally pierced babies' ears.
Yeah.
Babies, like, from 3 months and get your ear pierced. And like, they would show us like the baby book. So they've had like their injections and stuff like that. So I'd be like, do you have the book? And they'd be like, yeah, I've got the book.
You're basically running a GP surgery.
Because like, it's funny, like,
with jokers and glitter hair bands.
It's people want their babies to look like a girl. Like, I do get it. It's like a cultural thing. Like, because we get like a lot of like Indian, Eastern European, Caribbean, West African, like those groups of people. Like, they're like, oh, like, you know, like, otherwise she looks like a boy. And like, and in other, I was talking to this mom when I was piercing her daughter's ears, and she was like, in the hospital they do it. They do it when they're born. They take them and they do it in the hospital. And I was like, damn, all right.
Jesus.
So Claire's isn't like the craziest one.
No.
That's mad. Do you reckon the earrings come, like, how much do you get charged for hospital earrings?
Yeah.
I'd probably I don't know. Maybe it's complimentary. Like, you've had a baby there.
Complimentary. I don't know. Hope, right? You should be getting something for free at the very least.
If you're, like, leaving the hospital with, like, a charge for, like, some studs. I don't know. I wouldn't, like...
I love the idea that, like, the first time anyone meets your child, they've already got earrings in, as though they came out the womb like that. Do you know what I mean?
Do they do it?
You know when they, like, take the baby off you and like, you know, clean it up? Are they doing it then and there? Yeah, so, like, I think you literally are like,
pierce the ears.
Don't even show me that. Don't even show me that infant until it's got its ears pierced.
Did the ear piercing for yourself always go well?
Yeah, do you have any hard feelings?
No. most of the time, right, it was fine. And we had like a sort of tactic for like, say like it was like a little girl and she's maybe like 5, 6. Because we like, we know that if we do one ear, she's not gonna let us do the other ear.
Yeah,
she's gonna cry.
You do,
and so we would do two at a time. So like one of us would be like holding a little toy in front of her to distract her, and then like there'd be a girl on one ear and a girl on the other ear, and they'd be like, okay, like, and we'd be like 1, 2, but like we wouldn't do it on 3, we'd do it on 2. And she would cry. Every time this little girl would cry, but then we'd get the mirror so quick and we'd be like, look how pretty you look. And so she'd be like crying and smiling at the same time. She'd be like,
it's so early. Beauty's pain, baby. Beauty is pain.
And like, and I'm like, do you know what? Claire's has never left me. Like, I just got my boobs done. Like, beauty is pain.
Beauty is pain. You were like, I fed it into those kids. Yeah, also, you were like, I like, you're like, Claire's never left me. You're like, I close my eyes, I see crying little girls with little Demonte earrings in.
Because like, I'd be like, oh my God, it suits you so well. Like, we give them a lollipop and show them in the mirror and be like, you look so pretty.
So nice. That is so cute, isn't it?
I like, you know, I do think like working in retail is just, it does show you something about the world.
Oh, 100.
And it was the Claire's in like wood green. So it was like the hoodest Claire's.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. It was really like, it was like a dangerous place. And we didn't.
It was all right. You had your gun.
I had mine.
You were armed.
I had my gun. But we didn't have like security, so we had to like try and like stop shoplifters.
Oh, fuck.
And it's
that
like,
noise.
You don't pay us enough to stop shoplifters. 100%. Like, we can't.
I feel like also Claire's was made for shoplifters.
I was going to say, that
lots
is
of tiny little
it's so
things.
Easy.
The amount of kleptomania that started in that shop. It pierced everyone's ears and it gave them all. If anyone stole anything, you'd be like, well, because there was all those like, sort of like, not even bins, but like the loose stuff by the till and all.
Yes.
So easy to grab stick in your pocket or something. I remember when I was younger, like daring each other to nick something out of Claire's. And it was like the lowest risk place.
What? Yeah. No one's going to do anything.
Do you know what I mean? What are they going to do? They're too busy fucking just pinning them down. Torture chamber's busy. Go, go, go. nick all the bobby pins you can.
How long were you at Claire's for?
Yeah.
Just under a year. So I did.
What age were you at Claire's?
I was like 21. Oh, I was doing, I wasn't like super, super young. I was doing it whilst I was doing my master's and I was working part time in Claire's Accessories.
Nice. Doing a master's in?
Film studies.
Okay. And then just a bit of child torture on the side.
Yeah. Nice. They go hand in hand.
Yeah, sure. So then, So what... when you were little though, what did you want to be when you grew up?
When I was little,
apart from an ear piercer,
apart from an ear piercer,
well, I do feel like when I was younger, I used to be like, oh my God, imagine working here.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, like, we all had our sort of like Claire's phase, you can like have like a Claire's phase when you're like a little girl, and then when you were like an angsty 12-year-old, that's when all the arm warmers were there.
Yes,
and I was
the
like,
chokers.
That's yeah,
the
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm growing up with Claire's,
yeah.
And now maybe I'll get my baby's ears pierced.
It would be a full circle moment. Yeah. Seems like the only right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it has to be the wood green one as well. Go to the dodgiest Claire's you can. You've got to go back to your hood.
It really shouldn't be allowed. No, the rest of them are better at it. Like,
I can't wait till a little girl be like, that's the girl who did my ears. And they're just like,
do you know
so
what?
Excited.
I pierced I don't know if this doesn't really matter that much, but do you know the actress Indira Varma? She's like, I think you'd recognize her, but like, I pierced her daughter's ears.
Oh, no
way. She like came in and I recognized her. I was like, she's famous. And she was like, she asked me about like the ear piercing. And I was like, yeah, yeah, like this is what we do. Da, 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 da. And then she came in a bit later with her daughter and I pierced her daughter's ears. So.
There you go. So you've always been successful as women. You've always run in the right circles.
It's all about networking. It's all about who did you kiss?
I was about to say. Yeah, so sorry. What did you want to be when you were younger, though?
I kind of wanted to be a magician.
The level of excitement going on for Ruby right now.
Maybe specifically like a magician who like... did the displays of the magic kits in Hamleys or Harrods. Because that's okay. that was my first encounter with live close-up magic. Yeah. But I'd watched a lot of magic on TV.
I was going to say, when you said magician, is it like sort of like classic child musician, like cape, hat, wand? Or was it like... one of those lads who like sits in a box above David Trafalgar Square. There we go, David Blaine type.
David Blaine is too out there for me. I'm more traditional like when it comes. I'm like a trick is a should be a trick,
right? Bunny
you know,
hat type
like
trick.
Like it should be entertaining. Like you in a box not like I'm bored. Like
what
I'm not going to watch.
What was he doing in that box?
He was in there for wasn't it like a bunch like it was a. Like days. I can't remember how many. I want to
say
40.
But what was interesting about him being in the box?
I guess because he was in the box and nowhere else. And that sort of, and people are like, how can he not be anywhere else but the box? He's got to go to the toilet and eat.
Oh, yeah. Was he going to the toilet? Does anyone remember?
I don't remember.
We'll look this up later. It doesn't even matter. But here's the thing. I don't think it was necessary. It was just a man looking for attention.
A trick shouldn't last that long.
Exactly. 100%.
It shouldn't be that long.
Yeah, 100%. So Hamleys.
Yeah, I loved like I love going to Harrods and Hamleys and just like seeing the people do the tricks.
They were really like when you were in the toy. I remember going there twice at Christmas when I was little. And like, in the toy section, all of the employees are playing with something and they're doing something. And then, there's the magic
section, amazing.
And all the other stuff. Or they're like, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
There's people ready to play with me? Yes! It's the youngest of four. No one ever wants
Oh, Ruby. Violin.
Oh, all right, middle child.
Yeah. I was just ignored.
I'm the oldest.
There we go. We're a whole family unit right here, right now.
So did you learn any magic tricks? As a kid?
Yeah, I got like a magic trick like kit like for Christmas one time. And so I had like, it was the one where like it's like the coins, like you sort of like, you put it and it's like, whoa, there's 10 coins. And then I change it and there's no coins. And like, and it came with like this like, thumb with a red light in it, and you could act like you were like grabbing the light. It's like, oh, there's a light in your ear. And
I am unfamiliar.
I've seen that. It's a good move.
It was just like big, massive, chunky thumb that like no one is gonna believe that that's my thumb. Like it's not.
Your thumb had a light in it.
No, so like it was like a sort of fake thumb that you put on.
So, like, yeah.
It had like a light. Like you sort of press it, and then there would be a light. And so I think you could maybe, it would make sense if you wore like white gloves and like that would be all right. But I would learn them a bit and there was like a sort of like a trick deck of cards and I learned the card trick. But then like I didn't have the patience for it. Like I'm not disciplined enough for magic. Just not.
Well, yeah, when you want it to be magic, you want it to be immediate. You don't want to... learning.
You loved being on the receiving end of magic rather than
What I am is a good audience member at a magic show.
Do you
still feel
that way now? How do you feel about close hand magic now?
I really don't mind it. I'm still into it.
Really?
Yeah.
I fucking hate it. I don't know why, but I have such
people find it embarrassing, but
it's not even that. I'm like, don't try and trick me. I don't know.
The sensation of feeling like I'm being tricked. So anytime that a magician is like, they're trying to do like, I can tell when they're doing like the distraction of like, and if we look at this card over here, and I'm like looking at their other hand, like, no shot, mate. I'm not being tricked.
I love it. I'm so like, I'm so gullible. I'm like, whoa. Like, and like, I love magic. Like I like the kind of old school showbiz, like, stuff of it. Like I went to see Penn and Teller this year. I saw Penn and Teller in September. I bought the tickets like over a year ago. Like, because I saw...
I feel bad. I had the opportunity to go to that for free and didn't. So that sort of tells you what you need. But I heard it was really good and I feel like they're very good.
They're you know, they're good at what they do.
My beef is I, for 2 years, was producing a show at the Edinburgh Fringe that was at the Voodoo Rooms, which is the space that has loads of cabaret acts and magicians. And Ruby was the tech of the show I was producing. And let me tell you something about fucking musicians, right? Magicians don't seem to respect anybody else's time.
See, you got magic trauma.
They're get in and get out. They'd be like, you know the way you know at the Fringe, you have to finish your show on time so that you can then get all your shit and get out of that room so we can load in our show. Were they ever out of that room on time, Ribby?
No, they
were never.
They were dilly dally,
and they wouldn't act like they had any sense of fucking urgency about them. So their show would run over, and then they'd stand at the door chatting away to the audience members as they left. And then they had shit tons of props all over the stage.
And do you know, it was really fucking annoying. They were really successful.
Yeah,
they had loads.
They
of
always
money
had a bigger audience.
And they were like, for fuck's sake.
And you got to catch the rabbits that they let out of the hats. That took another 10 minutes.
Shit everywhere.
There's a white tiger. Just
And they're all in waistcoats. I was like, you're all in waistcoats.
I don't think you need a waistcoat.
Oh, they were all in waistcoats.
I don't think you need one. I know that's like the magician's uniform, but like you don't
it's
need it.
It's because they don't like having sleeves. They're always like, no sleeves, no sleeves. Have you not seen that? Magicians are always like, no sleeves.
Again, I do not give them my time.
Because they're trying to be like, nothing. No sleeves. No sleeves.
So wait, say it one more time there, Ruby.
No sleeves. I wrote a script about a magician.
Oh yeah, you did.
I have a love hate because I hate them, but I also love my magician. And one of his lines was just being like, "Look, no sleeves."
Ruby's quoting her own TV show there.
Sorry.
Yeah, to be produced.
Yes.
Have you seen like on TikTok where it's like Free Will is hiring a magician for your birthday party, and it's just like a few, like it's like five girls at like a sort of slumber party. They're in pajamas, and there's a man with like doves. In their house. I'm like, I think I'm going to do this for my birthday.
Yeah. It looks
so good.
As like magicians with kids, they're trying to keep their attention.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, five women who have like decided they want this, and he comes over and they've all got rosé, and he's
that's not his year made.
Yeah, he's having a great, and they're all like, yeah. Like that seems like a great time.
I think it's good. Yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
Dude, I'm not, okay. Can I come to your birthday? Maybe I do like magic. Maybe. Who knows? I love that. Okay, so when we're talking about all the jobs that you've had, and you, as you say, not that many then.
Not loads, because I sort of like, I did, I worked as a clothes accessories whilst I was doing my master's, and then I kind of started working in TV after the MA was over, and I just worked in TV since.
It's so funny because in my brain, because from your show Money Princess, I'm like, Mary's about work.
Yeah.
Work. And also because I reference your PDF joke to everyone.
Oh my God, I've seen Money Princess. What's the PDF joke?
The PDF joke. Doing any job is just sending or receiving PDFs.
PDFs, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is so funny. Money Princess.
Money Princess.
Well, no.
No, you missed it.
You didn't see it.
You're not going
to.
No. No, I might release it at some point. I might do it again with the new boobs.
If you mention them enough on the podcast, are they a tax write-off? Is that what that is?
I already spoke about them in my show Dilly Dally, so like I'm pretty sure they are a tax write-off.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But isn't the whole tax write-off thing that you can only use if something's a tax write-off because you do... someone was telling me this about like makeup and stuff. So I was like, surely like I use makeup to go on stage. Like that's the thing. They're like, you have to be able to prove that you only use it for... like on stage, like you only use it in work. So like, how would you prove your boobs are only there while you're on
I don't know,
stage?
Everyone's enjoying them whilst I'm at work.
But my friend was like, because I was like, oh, clothes. And they were like, it has to be like clothes that you only wear.
I don't think it's you only wear. I think it's you did wear.
I was going to say, I've
bought an outfit for like a TV thing before. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's a write-off. I feel like so long as you have used them in a work setting.
It's not, it has to be only...
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I know. Well, also because the one time...
Someone was lying to me.
The one time that someone has been able to do it as a tax write-off for something like clothing, which can be debated used for other times, was someone who was a stripper. And because she like brought her shoes that she bought for stripping to court and was like, I am never wearing these anywhere else. Ridiculously, like those really high platform ones. She's like, can you imagine me wearing these at the supermarket?
And yeah,
like,
fair.
So for her, they were like, fair enough.
Fair enough. I'm using there. Yeah, it was an influencer person who told me this. And I think for them, obviously, like, again, it's probably similar to comedy where they're like, oh, I bought makeup, you know, whatever else, do whatever for influencing. But they were like, no, like, you use it as
talk to an accountant. I don't like, I mean, I don't know. I've written
loads of
stuff.
Are you not an accountant, Mary? That's why I brought you here today.
Sorry.
Anyways, getting into what you have done. What is one of the greatest saves you've ever made at work?
So, before I worked, I worked in sort of like comedy, entertainment, TV. But before that, my first job in TV was in Factual. I was an office runner and I shared a desk and an email address with the other office runner, who's like a great guy. Shout out Tom. but like, we were not sort of like, we were doing the job of like, 3.5 people and there was just two of us.
Two of you sharing an email address.
We shared an email address. Messy. Like, it was...
Who's replying? Who's answering?
It was all... Like, it was okay, but like, we could sort of tell the slight differences in our like emails.
Yeah.
Also, speak. Why is there a lack of email addresses? Why did they need to save an email address and not give you both one?
It's the office runner email address. It wasn't even our name. Like,
Okay. So it was like the hello at and both of you are managed. Yeah. Okay, I get what you mean.
So there was, and we mostly like dealt with stuff from like the office and like everyone, like we only had to get like Cravendale milk. Everyone was so particular about the milk and like the type of coffee.
Like, that you remember,
like, cause I was just like, we're spending so much money on milk. Like, this is ridiculous. And whenever, like, because I was like, you know, like, I'm like young, I'm cheap. I don't understand like TV is about like the finer things and shit. So there'd be times when I like have to go and like get a gift for someone and I would get like, and they'd be like, I'll get some champagne. So I would get the cheapest champagne. I'd be like, I'm saving the company money here. And like, they had to be like, Mary, don't get the cheapest champagne.
You tacky bitch.
You can get a more expensive champagne. I'd be like, what, why?
But I feel like they should be like, get a 60 quid bottle. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like stuff you're expected to know. And then eventually you do start knowing it. And that's the sort of like, when they talk about like class, it's not just like, it's like taste. It's like, you know, there's like a gap in taste.
I was just going to say, them not thinking they need to specify means that they assume that everybody knows what good champagne is.
Yeah,
you don't skimp on champagne. Whereas I'm like, what you did makes complete sense.
So there was
class
one...
warfare, lads. That's it right
literally.
There. What kind of champagne will we get?
Moët and Chandon. So there was one project where like I got to leave the office and I was doing this thing called data wrangling, which is when they like record a bunch of footage and you have to make sure that it goes on like two drives because something could happen to the first drive. They could be like, it could get corrupted or whatever. And so it was my job. And it was also, it's quite a heavy program that we were recording. So I'm in the back of this space and it was, because this was a Factual place, it was a documentary about murder. Like there'd been a year where like that loads of murders had happened. Wow. And so this lady was talking about, her son was murdered. And so it was a lot, and I'm just in the back, just sort of like wrangling the data, and it sort of like, and then it was taking so long. After they'd left, it was taking a really long time, and it just like it was taking a really long time, and it maybe didn't wrangle properly. And I'm like, she can't give this interview again. This can't happen again. Do you know what I mean? This is a one-time thing. And I was like, this is my fault. This is my fault. It didn't wrangle properly. This is my first time data wrangling and I fucked it up. And I was like, hopefully I'll get hit by a bus. And like, literally, I was like, I'll get hit by a bus.
You're like,
and they're
I'll
not gonna
die now.
Literally, I was like, the file will get corrupted, I'll get hit by a bus and it'll be okay because I'll be hit by a bus. Like, I was so stressed and I was like, I don't know if this is, if the file is, has worked properly. And I think it might have been like, no, like, cause I just wasn't sure cause it was my first time doing it and there was no one else around. And so I was like running home, trying to get hit by a bus and I can get hit by a bus. And I called
trying to get hit by
I called the, I think she was office manager at the time, but she was also working on the project. I called her, I was like, I don't know if the file is working. I don't think it's like, and she was like, okay, let's, you know, look for it here. And I was like, it's not there. And then she was like, okay, look for it. To be fair, like, this isn't even my save. This was just like a high stakes story.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I'm like at home and then like, I go somewhere and I'm like, it's there. Okay, it's there. But it was, I was so stressed. I was like, yeah. I would rather die.
Yeah.
than have
get
to take
a bereaved mother back in to read.
Yeah.
That is that
so
is
that
a
was really stressful
situation.
And then I started working in comedy and TV.
Mary was like, I'm not cut out for this life.
Because I didn't really want to be in factual. It was the only job I could get. Like, it's very hard to work
foot
in
the door.
Yeah. So
were they all very heavy documentaries?
No, not all of them. Some of them were like most extreme weather, or like it wasn't like.
Wait, did you do Shark Week? What's happening here?
No, God, I did like I didn't do a lot, but there were times when like so there was a time when there were like serial killer documentaries as well, not super highbrow ones, like nothing was that highbrow, but they like didn't want to pay for people to transcribe Ted Bundy interviews, so they were like, Mary, can you transcribe these Ted Bundy interviews? And so I was like, listening to Ted Bundy and being like, he's a bit charming, but like, no.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, and transcribing is really long because the way that sort of people do it professionally, like, because you sort of like, you're like, type, and then you have to pause. And even just like that motion is too long. So like most, because I was like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to do this. And then we're like, oh yeah, they have like a pedal on the floor that they tap, like that professional transcribers use.
Wow. Don't they also do like a shorthand as well that then they can then lengthen or something?
I don't know. I think it depends.
Like court transcribers or stuff like that.
Maybe court transcribers, sure.
They don't have a full keyboard. There's like a half keyboard that they have. If they're doing it live.
Live, I mean, I think it's different. But like if it's already pre-recorded.
Live transcribing.
By the way, I do have to go. I don't know if anyone saw it on the video, but I was smiling during your story just because you were saying data wrangling so much. You kept saying the word wrangling.
And you were like, it didn't wrangle properly. I was like, it's like wrangle.
And I just find it weird. But yeah, I don't know what you mean.
I'm just thinking of like
data.
A cowboy. Like,
not like,
I wonder if anyone else, maybe doesn't know what wrangling means in that context and also wants to know.
It's kind of just like transferring the footage to external
hard drives.
Isn't
it just sort of data management? But I like the word wrangling better than managing.
Yeah, it makes it sound
It's
crazy.
Called wrangling when I did it.
I'm obsessed. I love that they put this like cowboy phrase.
Whoa!
Yeah. Mary, you wearing your Wrangler jeans today? We got some data. You've got
I'm
really
ready to wrangle.
Get ready to ride. I love that.
It was just such a good word.
Really great.
Yeah, it's my one time I did it. I've not done it since.
Well, clearly, they were like, don't get married to you. She had a panic attack last time.
She jumped in front of a bus.
Yeah. It was just in a different folder. She was ready to end it all.
To be doing this podcast before, I've had a couple of tech issues with things, like forgetting to press record on the mics. Then the next time we recorded, I was like, I double-checked that, and I double-checked that, and everything was fine. I went to upload all the files. It wasn't there. And I was like, no. And I was going to have a meltdown. I was screaming. And then it turned out the system had, like, changed the date, and it made it in, like, 2020. So then I had to go, and I was like, you fucking... But I understand the panic. I was like, I cannot do this to Catherine.
Imagine instead of it just being us talking about jobs, it was a mother talking about her dead son.
Yeah.
Stakes are high.
That's awful.
Absolutely fair enough.
Well done for saving that.
Yeah. sounds like you both jeopardized and saved it all at once. You know what I mean? Sounds like you were the problem and the solution.
Yeah.
And maybe
even
the office manager really was the solution. I don't know.
I can't take full credit for the
save. Yeah. It was a solo save.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Do you know what? There was one where it was like, this was me that saved it. So I was working on a show on Quibi. Do you remember Quibi?
Yes.
During the pandemic.
It was like someone tried to launch some new platform.
It was a portmanteau for Quick Bites. And so basically, and it's gone. It went bankrupt. It did not last a year.
But R.I.P.
it was during 2020, so it's the pandemic. But they, like, the guy who founded DreamWorks and someone from maybe Microsoft, like two CEOs got together and they were like, here's what the young people want. They want 8-minute videos that you can watch in a portrait or landscape. That's what the young people want. And we're going to charge them Netflix prices for the subscription. It's like everything in like 8-minute videos part. And they spent so much money on this, on like having celebrities do voiceovers for nature documentaries, like all of this stuff. Like it was insane.
Yeah.
But I was working on a show. I was a production assistant on this show, and we had a and the way that this show worked, it was called Hello America. Nish Kumar hosted it, and
someone did a show on Quibi. It was Nish.
So it had to be like, it was topical, so it all had to be written in the space of a week and then recorded like early our time on a Friday, edited so then it could go out at like 8 a.m. Eastern time. So like edited to go out in the morning for New York. And also you have to do two edits because you've got to do like the portrait edit and the landscape edit. There was like a day scheduled for like Nish to interview someone, like I can't remember who, but like just like a prominent US person. But like the clocks had gone back for us. But not there, and like, and no one checks that sort of stuff apart from the assistants who have to schedule meetings with Pacific and Eastern time.
Yeah.
So I have a little website I use called World Time Buddy, and I was like, "Hey, has anyone done the time? Like, has anyone checked what clocked time it. It's going to be?" Like, and they were like, "Whoa!"
So you said that you haven't had very many jobs.
Yeah.
And you seem to have like did your masters, got straight into TV.
Yeah.
But was there a job that you've always wanted to go for but never went for?
Okay, so this is like not like a real suggestion, but like, because
no one said it had to be practical.
I don't think it's like a real job, but like I think I would make like a really good fireworks commentator.
That is a real job. They do it at New Year's.
Because honestly, you want to be stood next to me bonfire night. Like, you really do.
Really? Oh my God, run us through it.
I'm just very good at describing what's happening because it's fireworks. It's not sort of something that you see every day, but like, you've got like the sperm ones. You've got like, oh, now I'm being put on the spot. I don't
that
know. Like,
technical
like,
term, the sperm ones?
It's just the way that I would, that's my style
of
commentating. Like, I bring my own flair to it. And I think I like the idea of doing like seasonal work, of not doing. Just not working all the time, and it being a special occasion when you do work.
Everyone's always excited.
Exactly.
I just love that you've specifically gone firework commentating.
Yeah.
Did you just see fireworks recently at...
Do you know what? I was recovering from my boob surgery, so I missed Bonfire Night this year.
Oh, no. But you had no ability to comment. You couldn't watch it on TV and mute it and commentate it yourself, no?
It's not like, I think if I'm not getting paid, I'm not going to do
free labor,
you know,
100%.
Have you listened to someone else commentating before and been like, I could do that, or you're better than them?
It's not even that. I feel like I have so much passion for it that it's not about it's not about the legacy. It's not about who's come before me. Yeah. It's just what I could bring to the craft.
All right. What's your favorite firework?
Boom.
I actually can't. So for the audio listeners.
The audio listeners.
It was like a wiggle up.
It's a silent wiggle up.
Silent sperm almost.
And then a sort of like a disappear.
You mean.
Boom.
And is it one that almost has a double boom? One of them where it's like silent and then it's like boom, boom. And it like has almost like two rings around it. No?
I'm just single boom for me.
Single boom. Single boomer.
Yeah.
And is it clear color? What are we saying?
I feel like it's like a sort of copper brass wiggle up, right, and then a blue.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice surprise. Yeah.
Nice. I love the bluey green that you do get in fireworks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I'm a big fan. Fireworks commentator. Don't think anyone's ever said that before on the podcast. Don't think it's ever been said again.
that does not surprise me.
Are you going to try and then like? But also like, obviously seasonal work. Great to not be working all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But also like, you know, bills need paying. So is there anything that you're like, that we could add fireworks to, that you think like something that could be? Because obviously like when London was hosting the Olympics, that would have been a prime time.
Yes.
Prime time.
That's true.
New Year's, you've got New Year's. There's a big thing at the South Bank. You've got Bonfire Night.
Diwali.
Diwali. There you go.
Chinese New Year.
So you're kind of busy all at once. That's all festive-y period of time. Yeah.
It's kind of like a 3-month-ish window.
Yeah, seasonal work, yeah.
But also because it's... Because I don't imagine there's loads of... You go to America
for the 4th of July. I feel like it's big.
Yes,
there.
I could travel.
So international work.
I feel like there's... It's not loads of people doing this job, which means you could charge more. So maybe it just means that you just get to holiday the rest of the time.
Better rates.
I think you when are freelancing you do, like, now. Quality, like... Work.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is very doable. Like, we could message Ali Pally.
Yes.
It's like, I could walk there. Like, that's my area. I'm in North London.
That's your own neck of the woods. So you could even just give, like, local tidbits out. You know what I mean? Like,
you can be like, start small.
Shit is the transport to Ali Pally? It is. It's so annoying. Why is it that hard to get to?
You just need, like, you don't have to, like, commentate to, like, a large audience. You could just start with, like, who you're stood next to.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And like, people go, get a little bit of that.
And then all of a sudden someone's got a PA system, a microphone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering at what point then that gets you paid.
Yeah. I think it's something you do for the love.
Do for the love. You could start an OnlyFans that is like, oh my God, just you could fireworks. Do like a Twitch stream situation where like you know the way people... Do like...
Yeah, like the sort of side-by-side thing.
Yeah, people do like commentary of like football games and stuff like this.
I genuinely think that would do really well because it's just weird enough.
There you go.
Just seeing you going, wow, I think this is going to be a big one. Whoa, it was!
It was a boom! And now a boom.
Yeah.
And then a ba-bang! And then a...
Yeah, I think I would come up with like good names for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I listen. The sky's the limit, literally. Yes.
Okay, that was good. That
you're was welcome. Very good.
Do you know what?
That
you can have good. That one for free, Mary. That's yours for free.
That's on the website.
Net.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
That's so funny.
Okay, but speaking of, I feel like this is not just a job you haven't done. I feel like this is a job you're going to aspire to do. Mm-hmm. So speaking of things in the future, what is something that you like would like to get away with at work in the future? Mm. Is there anything within your scope of work that you're like, I one day want to be able to steal this? I always think of steal. Do you know what I mean?
Stealing,
holidays. Like just being able to like, you know, when people work remotely and they just work in another country.
Oh, yeah.
Some places get a bit funny about that. I would love to do that, but I can't because all the people I teach have to come with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, what would I like to get away with? Like, I mean, not working is one.
Yeah.
I think the ultimate goal. Endless personal printing.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, I've done that.
I like yeah like job you been. Can it's pretty like it
guilt free because that's I feel
oh I never had a moment of guilt. I was being wildly underpaid, so I did things like I remember like I used to host pub quizzes and I would print all the sheets out at my work, wouldn't even think twice about it. I would be I've done baby showers, like I've done pub quizzes at my friends' weddings, I've done like baby shower quiz thing, you know, hen do's where we've done games. And I've made like bingo, you know, like, oh, when this happens, this. God, the amount of personal printing I've done. Honestly, never thought to shred a guilt about it.
And also like not wearing shoes.
Like entirely barefoot or in socks?
No, just socks.
Right, big in the office.
Socks. In the office.
I feel like I've seen this. I feel like I once saw someone like, and I feel like, kick off at their desk or whatever else, but then they're up and walking around and I was just a bit like, it felt weird. We were in quite a big office. There's like,
I think there's a small radius like that you can be barefoot.
Yeah.
But like there's just for certain things, like just having like a bit of personality. Cause like this place where I did like the murder documentary, like they just like, they couldn't even have like the radio on. Like it was just very dead. And
you
I'm like
even have your
chatting.
Own email.
No, I don't know. No email. Like like the one thing they did, they had like sort of like payday drinks on a Friday, but then I have to go and buy all the snacks and stuff. Like,
oh, for God's sakes, yeah.
Which, like, you know, it's fine. I guess it's nice that we got snacks. But like just having like being able to have a personality in an office. That's where those office jokes kind of came from. It's just me feeling out of place at work.
So if you could, would you like be one of these people who's really decorated their desk? Obviously, you've got your shoes off. Do you Do you know what I've also seen is people have like, you know the way people have commuting shoes? Like you see those people in like suits or whatever, like a dress, and they've got like the trainers on or whatever else. But I've seen people almost oppositely have like slippers that they have at work. Oh. Like a pair of like little like ugly things.
Or like
they
some like Crocs or something.
Yeah. Would you be about that?
I don't know.
You just want the feet. You just want your toes on the ground.
I just want freedom.
Yeah.
I just
like, also the radio on doesn't feel like a stretch. I feel like that's basic.
I think it's, it was just like a little bit fashion. No, it was okay. It was fine.
But the vibes weren't good.
Yeah.
Like I would love to take my duvet with me. Just like I'll be working exactly the same, but I'll be emotionally comfortable wrapped in a duvet.
Yeah.
And I'm the same person. I'm the same professional. I can still like do all the talk stuff. Also, I'll be in a duvet and happy.
I think like a lack of judgment. Like there are days when I like just want to eat sweets and I don't want to be like judged for it, like by like other adults. And like people would see, they'll be like, whoa, Mary, there's a lot of whisper rappers like at your desk. And I'm like, yes, because it's a whisper kind of day.
Yeah. I bet you whisper to yourself about that.
Catherine, you're nailing it. You're on it.
I've worked in places. I've worked in a lot of places. But one of the places I worked, actually, the office where you and I did that application, it was such a terrible place to work in, but the owner who was the boss was like such an absolute prick that whenever he wasn't there, which he would often like not show up to avoid us because we'd be like, hey, you owe people money, people are emailing us, chasing us, whatever else.
Yeah.
So he would just like not show up to the office, but we'd still be there. But like we used to blare tunes because those of us who were there were like, oh, whatever else. And I remember like there was one day where I was just absolutely, I have so many videos on my phone of me and Ryan, the guy who worked there, just blaring like Shania Twain, the Cheeky Girls, all this type of stuff, like zero productivity and whatever else. And just sending videos of like us two dancing around the office to like all our other colleagues to be like, fuck this noise, not a tap of work's getting done today. We also, me and my other friend who worked there one day, went up onto the roof of the building. We discovered you could go onto the roof. So we just went up to the roof for a while and hung out up there. Yeah, I really made that place my own. Do you know what I mean?
So if you had an office space, how would you idealize it to Mary? How would it be?
This is a complicated question because I don't like offices where it's trying to like trick you that it's not work. I'm like, I'm not about bean bags. I'm like, look, we're getting paid to be here. It's not home time. Yep. It's not like, you know, like I think it could be nice and stuff, but like, I don't like a WeWork situation.
Yeah, I get you.
It's like, it can be like, you know, like,
look, there's little bowl chairs we can sit in. Isn't this fun? Yeah.
Cause like I temped at a startup for like 3 days and there was like a chair that was just like a log. Like, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I hate this decor. Like, who are we kidding? Like we're at work. So I think just like sensible with a bit of character. Like there will be like a sofa in the sofa area. There'll be like a sort of like a reading nook where it's like, yeah, like you can read. Yeah. There'll be maybe like somewhere like a little island where people can chat and stuff. Like I think there'll be a place for each kind of energy. But also like I get distracted easily. Like I need like a place to just like work.
But shoes off.
Shoes off.
And with little tunes on. I don't think you're asking for much.
I'm not asking for everyone.
I feel like things are, me, when I was like, oh, something you want out of work in the future, again, immediately, stealing. I'm trying to steal shit. You're just asking for a nice desk, some good tunes, and
like,
shoes off.
You know, like,
you know what, you sound very, like you'd be a great culture fit, Mary. Sounds like you'd be a great culture fit in any place you wanted to work. That's a recommendation from me. You need a reference.
I adjust well.
So if we go to our last question now, which is, in hindsight, which job or experience do you think you learned the most from and has been most useful to you?
Yeah, this could be like practical knowledge or like, you know, emotionally I grew, or you could be like, I learned how to wrangle.
I guess out of everything we've talked about.
Anything.
Oh, okay. Well, so I did work in comedy TV for a long time, and I learned a lot from that because I worked at a few different companies. I think I learned about what you can't have to be a personality in the media industry.
Okay, yeah.
And I think I'm still discovering that, because so many people in TV fail upwards. Like, I've seen it. Yes. I've seen it happen. I'm like, yes. What's your, like, because I'm like, I've got a master's. What did you do at uni?
Yeah. It's because they bought the right champagne, Mary. Yes. That was, you fell at the first hurdle.
I was buying the cheap champagne. They were like, she doesn't belong here. So I think because I like started my first office, you weren't really like allowed to have much of a personality. But then I was like, oh, okay, personality is what is going to get you work. And like, because it's so important to have like your own taste, especially when you're working in comedy and development. So being confident in your opinion is something that I had to learn. And I'm good at it now, but it took some time. So yeah, just being confident when you pierce people's ears, being confident when you wrangle.
Yeah. You just got it. That data's somewhere.
Yeah, and being confident when you do personal printing.
Oh, what a lovely wrap up!
That was so great. Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you for having me.
For coming on the Untold Podcast.
Thank you, Mary.
What a guest.
Yeah, what a guest.
What a gal. What a first episode of 2026. A
fantastic time.
I loved it.
Now, we've got to get in the serious business of plugging.
Go.
So, Leicester Comedy Festival. You can see Mary O'Connell.
You can see Ruby Carr. Wow. You can see Kat Higgins. All your favourites in one place. Get down to Leicester.
So, you should be right now opening a web browser. Mm-hmm. Pinning in Leicester Comedy Festival.com.uk for Mary, myself, Mary. And Catherine. Cat. Cat.
Mother of God. You should also follow Mary on socials, as well as Ruby and myself. And
oh, and remember, hey, Patreon, you can get extra exclusive content with our tea breaks on Wednesdays.
Very exciting bonus content, which will be coming to you live from New Zealand.
Or
Sydney, I can't remember, but yeah, we'll be in, it will be up to date. So if you want to know how we're getting on currently in the 2026, sign up to our Patreon. It's free for members. You just register and
occasionally we might put something behind a paywall. But only if it's extra spicy.
Okay. Anyways, like, share, follow, subscribe. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.